Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for joining us for our Bible study in the book of Hebrews. We are making our way through the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And today we look once again at Moses, who is also listed in this chapter for his faith in God. And we are examining the idea of eternal rewards, or laying up treasure for ourselves in heaven. Our lesson today is titled, Moses, Looking to His Reward, The Doctrine of Eternal Rewards, Part 3. Let's listen as John picks things up by reminding us that God is the one who sets the rules and rewards those who obey Him. Let's listen. Here's John Politon.
God set the rules. God has laid this down. And like I think I said last week, I can't remember, but ultimately it all gives glory to God. It's a testimony to His grace. It's a testimony to His mercy. It's a testimony to His love. The God who Himself saved you, no goodness in and of ourselves, gives us the ability and the desire to even want to strive for holiness and enables us to do so when we die, literally gives us rewards for all eternity for our faithfully doing so. It's just mind-blowing. And it's all to the glory of God. It's not selfishness. It's not legalistic. It's not unscriptural. It's not less spiritual to obey the Word of God because He promises to give you a reward. As a matter of fact, I will submit to you, it is the essence of faith. What did we say faith was again? Faith was the God-given ability to entrust your life to the person and character of God as revealed in the Scriptures, and the God-given ability to commit your life to the promises, prescriptions, principles as set forth in the Scriptures. Now, you're doing life, and you got a choice. And this lady here has got a choice, and it's presented to her. And she goes, oh, you know, I can gossip. I can commit sinful gossip and talk about my friend Stella behind her back. Or I can say, Lord, I know what Your Word says about that. I know it's reprehensible to You. I know that we're going to give an account of every idle word. You talk about one that shakes up me. We're going to give an account of every word we've ever thought, let alone spoken. But I know, God, Your Word says, if I forego sharing this little tidbit of gossip about my friend, because it titillates me and excites me so much, if I forego doing that, if I forego the pleasure of that sin right now, Your Word says, someday You will reward me openly with some sort of eternal reward. Now think about the decision she just made right there. She could enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt for a season, or she says, no, I believe God's Word. When God's Word says He's going to bless me for obeying His Word and doing the right thing, I've got this opportunity to look at this pornography on my computer screen. I can engage in that and feed my lustful passions. I can click this thing off, ask God to erase the memory tape of even the split second that I saw. Get that out of my mind forever, because I know, God, by not following that sinful desire, You will reward me. What I'm saying is this. My conduct today, I'm willing to conform to the Word of God because I believe in faith in the truth of His Word, what it says, that He'll reward me for doing what's right today. That is the essence of faith. That is the essence of godliness. That is the essence of holiness. It is not legalistic. It is not undisciplined. It is not unspiritual. We have bought into the lie of Satan that somehow that's not a proper motivation for godly conduct. And we've jettisoned 250 years of the faith in this country alone as a result of it, let alone 2,000 years of proper teaching of the Word of God. And guess what? Giving you a reward at the end of your life, at the end of the age, for your obedience to the Word of God gives God pleasure. It gives God pleasure in addition to everything else. I remember in Indianapolis, volunteered to be involved in the Special Olympics program. And I remember they paired us up with different children that had, you know, physical, we called them handicaps. I don't know what the politically correct thing is today, but they struggled in some way, physically or mentally, emotionally, in the Special Olympics. And of course, the little boy I had was entered in the 100-yard dash. You gotta understand, the 100-yard dash for them was from about here to about where Mike is. It was like not even 10 yards hard, okay? But that was what we called the 100-yard dash. And we practiced and practiced and practiced so that Danny could make the 100-yard dash. And if he could complete the 100-yard dash, he got the blue ribbon, the prize, okay? Now, we worked and worked and worked. And I wasn't even a Christian at the time. And the day came and we had the Special Olympics at this little school grounds near where I lived at the time. Little Danny, that kid, that 7-year-old kid with everything he was facing and struggling with, he struggled and fought and struggled and fought, and he ultimately got and crossed that finish line with those other children. And I stood there later on, about an hour later, at the little award ceremony, and got to put a blue ribbon on Danny's chest. I had tears running through my eyes, tears of joy. Do you think, I mean, he was saying, John, I did it. Do you think I was joyous in my heart looking at that little 7-year-old kid when I put that blue ribbon on him? I'm a fallen, depraved sinner who didn't set up the rules, by the way. Special Olympics people did. And it gave me one of the greatest thrills of my young life up to that point in time. What do you think Almighty God, who enables us by His grace and lays it all down, how do you think God, the heart of God, feels toward His children when He turns to you someday and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, Dave Lewis. Well done. Enter into the joy of your reward." Unbelievable. Let me tell you something. A holy God uses nothing but good and holy methods to determine good and holy ends. If your obedience and my obedience to the Word of God is a holy, good, just result, and we know it is, He says, "You don't even love me if you don't obey me." If that's a holy, just result, then any means that that holy God, who can stand no evil in His sight, would use is a perfect, holy motivator. And God's Word says, "I will give you a reward for doing it my way." And it's okay to pick up your paycheck at the end of your life. And it gives God great, great joy. You see, this is why, so why don't people do it? So why are so many Christians, 9 out of 10 Christian lives, sad to say, that you look at? And remember that survey of those kids who took that George Barna survey, 5,000 kids who all described themselves as Bible-believing Christians, said that 99.9% of them said, "If Jesus came back right now, He wouldn't be pleased with the way I was living my life." Why is it that we don't strive for greater holiness? What is that? And I'll tell you exactly what it is. We've bought in to the lie of Satan. We don't think it's worth it. You think you're going to miss something. I think I'm missing out on something if I don't engage in this. Dasha, it was the first lie ever told. Eve, did God really say that, Eve? Oh, He said, "Don't eat that fruit. Don't eat that fruit." You know what? You can't trust God. God's a liar. God's keeping you from something good, Eve. Eat it. Come on, eat it. She ate it, and all hell literally broke loose as a result. And it's still going on today.
know it's the oldest lie in the earth, that we might miss out on something if we obey God, going on since the Garden of Eden. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politan, as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews and bring you more of a message today titled, Moses, Looking to His Reward, The Doctrine of Eternal Rewards, Part 3. You can download free copies of John's sermons at reformedlivingministries.org. Just click on the Sermon tab and download free MP3 files of John's teaching. For CD copies of John's sermons, just click on the Contact tab and send in your CD request by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. Now, let's get back to our study as John talks more about the consequences of disobeying God and turning away from his instruction. Here's our teacher.
There's a person that we love, regular member, or has been, hasn't been too recently, member of this congregation who has, I'm being sensitive to delicate ears, but basically has chosen an ungodly lifestyle with another person. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And this person has been confronted by their friends, lifelong friends, repeatedly, numerous times. Stop this conduct. Don't do this. It violates God's word. Won't stop. Children are observing what you're doing. What does the word of God say? It's better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be thrown into the sea than you cause one of these little ones to stumble into sin because of what you're doing. Won't listen. Won't listen. Won't listen. Why is that? Well, is it because of the pleasure? Well, in part. But wait a minute. Moses, he got over it. He got past the pleasure. What really is it? They think it's not worth it. They're going to miss out on something in this life. And you know what the incredible irony is? The irony is, by engaging in the sinful conduct, they're losing infinitely more. Not just the complications that are going to flow from it. Not just the possible chastisement in this life and all of that that could flow from it. You know what they're losing? Eternal rewards. And let me tell you something. There's people in this congregation and others who are paying a price for confronting this individual. And you know what? It's the most loving thing a person can do is to bring it up, bring their sin up, bring it up every time you see them, every time you meet them, every time you talk to them. I love you so-and-so. I love you. Have you stopped this relationship? We can't have fellowship. I love you too much not to drive the point home. And let me tell you something. What usually happens in that context, the person who confronts, now the elders of our church who are ramping up more to do it as well, you'll take a hit for it. The preaching elder and his wife are already taking a hit for it. The person who has confronted this individual is taking a hit for it. You get thrown under the bus. All sorts of misdirection. All sorts of things are shared with your friends and your acquaintances and so forth. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to tell you why. It's okay. In terms of, it's okay for the person that confronts. It's okay for the elder board who confronts. It's okay. Why is it okay? Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you. When people cast insults at you and or persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Not because you're a jerk and you really are a jerk. No, because of Christ, for taking a stand for Christ, for wanting to stand in truth and righteousness, for wanting to tell your friends and others this is wrong. And we're taking a stand against it because we love this individual. You're blessed. How so? How could I possibly be blessed? Look at verse 12. Rejoice and be glad. Because everything is going to be set straight in this life. The person's going to repent. They're going to come back to you. Your friendship's going to be great again. All your friends are going to understand what you did. And everything's going to be wonderful again. No! Not necessarily so. Rejoice and be glad for your reward right here on this earth. No, it doesn't say that. Your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You pay a price. And we're going to keep paying the price. And hopefully by God's grace, individuals will be encouraged to live godly lives. I was privileged to do a wedding in the state of Minnesota Friday night. And talking to Ben Lynch, the young boy I was marrying. I've known his parents. He used to live here in the valley. I've known him all his life. My wife was in the room when Ben was born. I've known him forever. He says to me, and he calls me uncle. He says, uncle, I really missed the boat. I said, what's that? He says, you know what I should have got for all the groomsmen? I said, what's that, Ben? He said, I should have got red trucker hats and said, make marriage great again. And I was saying, I laughed too. And I was thinking about that and I thought, oh no, you know what we need to do? We need to get red trucker hats and say, make eternity great again. Be Bema minded. We need to be Bema minded. Constantly so. In this place where they got married, it was on the campus of Northwestern University, not the Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, not the Big Ten school. It's a college, Christian college in Minneapolis or Bloomington, I forget now. It's Northwestern, beautiful, just absolutely beautiful, Northwestern University. There's a Maranatha chapel, used to be an old Catholic boys' school, really, and it was a beautiful chapel. But in this building, as a matter of fact, Billy Graham at one point in time was the president of the school years ago. But in this building, we were walking around looking, actually I was trying to find Terry and the other people in the dressing room. And we got to the third floor walking around. And I saw the end of the line. She said, well, go down there, the secretary said. And you'll see this, you know. And okay, so I'm following her instructions along with the father of the groom, Ben's dad. And I look up, and above the doorway to this one sort of lecture hall, it said, the Eudarian Memorial Room, Y-O-U-D-E-R-I-A-N. And I went back and I asked the secretary, is that named after Roger Eudarian? And she says, oh, yes, it is. Now, most of you sitting here are saying, who is Roger Eudarian? Well, in 1951, there were 5 missionaries martyred by the Alca Indians in Ecuador. And we've heard a couple of them. They've become household names primarily because of the ministry of their wives and other family members years later. Jim Elliott, Nate Saint. There were 3 other men, and one of them was Roger Eudarian. And it was such a delight to see some of the things that they had in that room. And I thought to myself, Roger Eudarian dies at the age of 30 years old. But it's his friend, Jim Elliott, who has the famous statement that all of them live by. And it ties in so beautifully to the doctrine of eternal rewards. What's it say? He is no fool who gives up that which he can never keep to obtain that which he can never lose. You know what that is? That's being Bema, judgment seat of Christ, minded. That's having a red trucker hat on, rhetorically speaking, on your heart. That says, make eternity great again. Meaning, make eternity a great thing in our hearts. Meaning, understand the truth of the Word of God and the significance of the Word of God. It is an awesome thing to contemplate that this preacher and these listeners, all of us on our own, are going to stand someday before God as a non-believer or as a believer in Christ. You will stand before God and will give an account of every word,
every thought, everything,
to determine the receipt for believers or the loss of rewards. One thing to clarify before I close. I gave the example last week of the Electrolux salesman. Remember, I came home and I said I felt like I was in the middle of an I Love Lucy rerun. Terry had this gigantic 6'6" guy sweating like a wild man, standing on our brand new carpets in our home in Ahwatukee, throwing mud and dirt everywhere because he was selling Electrolux shampoos, remember? And he was saying, now, you know, after today, you don't get the 20% off. And if you don't buy this shampoo, these beautiful carpets of yours are going to go bad. He was using the fear of loss as a motivating factor. Instead of asking me about the biblical principles, 9 out of 10 people that came up to me afterwards said, did you buy the shampooer? The answer is yes. We bought the shampoo. By the way, it was a great shampooer, wonderful product. But let me tell you why we bought it. Not because I was going to lose the 20% discount. Not because I was fearful that our carpets would go bad if we did not shampoo them regularly. It was because Terry took me aside in the kitchen and said, John, this guy's been going door to door all day long. He hasn't had one sale. You know it's 110 degrees out there. We've got to buy a shampooer from this guy. All I can say is if you people are selling things, stay away from my wife. I don't want to take a glorious truth and end it so much on a laugh, other than to say that laughter can't hold a candle to the laughter, the joy that is going to burst forth from your soul, the joy that is going to be on the countenance of your Savior when He says, you foregoed moment by moment by moment the pleasures of sin in order to do it my way, believing by faith that my word was true, that I would reward you. Well, well done. Enter into the joy of your reward. By God's grace, we'll talk about degrees of heaven and hell. We'll talk about a couple other things related to this topic, and maybe even move on a little bit further in Hebrews 11 next week.
Those are the words that every believer longs to hear. Well done, servant. Enter into your eternal reward. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon. As we continue our study in the book of Hebrews, bringing you more of a message today titled, Moses, Looking to His Reward, The Doctrine of Eternal Rewards, Part 3. Please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org to download free audio files of John's sermons. And if this program is ministering to you, and you might like to give back where the Lord is blessing you on the radio, then please visit reformedlivingministries.org, where you can make a secure, tax-deductible donation of any amount to help keep Reformed Living on the air. And you can also write to John with your donation, made out to Reformed Living, and send it to John's mailing address, Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727, East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague, and thanks again for listening today. Do join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews. And now, here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.